Okay, welcome everybody. This is the meeting of the Pacifica National Board, National Finance Committee. And Paul, you're the treasurer. Would you call the roll, please?
Secretary.
Excuse me, what did I say?
Treasurer.
Secretary.
I am the treasurer, true, but
okay.
not of this committee. I actually don't have my list in front of me. I'll work with memory, by memory. Okay. Dave Adelson.
Here.
Carol Spooner.
Here.
Alice Shields.
Here.
Henry Cooper.
Here.
Donna Warren.
Here.
And I'm here. That's Paul Cirillo. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Lonnie Hicks is not here. LaVarne Williams.
Will join us late, she said.
Will join us late. From KPFT, Sandy Weinman.
He notified us he wouldn't be able to be on the call.
Okay. And Warren Turner from Washington is not here. I think that covers everyone who's currently on the committee. Because Donna has replaced the former treasurer. His name escapes me.
Sarah Wyatt. Okay, great. So, thank you. Did everybody receive the proposed agenda that I sent around?
Yes.
Okay. Actually, I'd like to flip the approval of minutes and the selection of secretary because Paul Cirillo will have to leave shortly. Is there somebody on the call who can function as secretary for the meeting once Paul steps off? Don't all volunteer at once. I can't hear you if you're all talking together at the same time.
I'll do it.
Thank you. Okay. Any objection to that?
What are you asking an objection to?
I'm asking if there's any objection to you serving as secretary.
Oh.
If there's none, then let's go on. The next item is the approval of the minutes, the draft minutes that were set around.
I move to approve the minutes of the November 12th meeting.
I second it.
Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing no objection, the minutes for November 12th are adopted. The rest of the agenda is as follows. Status report on the action items from that meeting, the station treasurer reports, the WBAI budget status, the financial statements, September, October, November, then the policies that we've been considering, the interstation transfer policy, policy on under and over budgeted line items, and the policy on the budgeting process in the event of excess. And then new business, there are four motions. The KPFK LSB's motion on exempting fund drive revenues in excess of goal from central service payments. And three from Paul Cirillo, motion to add the number of active subscribers to the monthly income statement. Motion to ask KPFK management for information on its successful fund drives, and the motion to provide preliminary station financial data to local finance committees when the national office delays in providing monthly income statements.
I move to approve the agenda.
Second.
Is there any objection? Okay, hearing none, that'll be our agenda. We'll try and go through as quickly. Status report on action.
Well, Dave, I'm going to have to leave. I have a personal emergency situation.
Okay.
I have to deal with. And I just wanted to say, in case it wasn't noticed by the others, that I did send a memo to Teresa Allen regarding the audit
right.
situation.
Did you hear back from her?
No, I haven't heard from her.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Okay. Okay, everybody. Have a good weekend. Have a good meeting.
Okay.
Bye.
So that was what Paul was talking about was that the National asked a motion that the interstation transfers from January 2002 forward be audited when this audit occurs, and we had been told by Lonnie on the call that that the auditors were not going to be doing that, and it was pointed out that that's an issue for the audit committee, and Paul committed to contacting Teresa. I had an assignment which was to bring LaVarne's motion regarding monthly reporting, headcount reporting to the national board. And I, earlier today, wrote to the board and requested that the National Finance Committee be given time on the agenda of the upcoming conference call meeting, the regularly scheduled meeting that's toward the end of this month, for a report, with that report including that motion. And also, I requested separately that we hear from the audit committee about the status of the audit on interstation transfers. Lonnie was supposed to talk to Ambrose Lane about getting further information that would allow specifically to find out what he wanted the money used for, because Lonnie had said that you cannot go looking for a line of credit or a loan without being able to tell a potential lender what the money's going to be used for. And I believe that was all the action items that we were supposed to take. Does anybody recall any others?
No, I don't, but I'd like a follow-up on the action item of contacting the audit committee chair.
Okay.
Paul did follow through and sent her a written, query of, asking her to bring it up with the audit committee. But he said that he didn't hear back from her. So I'd like to move, Dave, that you just call her as the chair of our committee and check in with her.
I am having difficulty keeping up with the number of tasks I've got right now. I'm wondering if there's anybody else on the committee. Would it be all right if someone else on the committee took that task on?
Call Teresa?
Yes.
Okay. I'll do it, Henry Cooper.
All right. Well, I'd like to move that Henry talk to Teresa, just make sure she got that notice from Paul, that she understands what it is we're asking for, and find out from her what their, how the audit committee wants to handle it or is handling it. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Any objections? Okay, hearing none, we'll adopt that. You'll note that in the minutes, Carol?
Right, motion that Henry will call Teresa.
Okay. Is there anything else on action items? Okay, then let's move on to the station treasurer reports. We have Donna, I believe, is the only station treasurer on the call.
LaVarne gave me a couple things she wanted me to.
Okay, well, let's go with first Donna. I don't think you've had on Donna was just so people know, Donna was elected to the treasurer position to fill out the remainder of this year's term because Simone Wyatt was unable to make the meetings. And so if Donna, I don't imagine you've had much time to get caught up, but do you have anything for us?
No.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so Paul is not on the call, so Carol, can you give us whatever you have from...
Yes, I spoke to LaVarne this morning, and she said that she's been sitting down with our business manager at KPFA and reviewing... the charges and line item charges and so forth on KPFA's accounts. And that one thing they have been reviewing is the charges to KPFA for election expenses. And they found a number of errors where things that should be on another line item are being charged to the elections account. So she wanted to alert all the treasurers to that. It's an error, a mistake. These things happen, but election expenses are paid out of the national office and then charged back to the stations. And some of those expenses are coming in on the wrong line items.
Do you have any idea what they're coming in on?
They're coming in on, actually, other things are coming in on the elections line item that are not elections expenses. And so...
Carol, did you say why they're coming in on the wrong line item?
Probably a typographical error where somebody in keying the entry entered the wrong account code.
Do you have any information?
Who's doesn't know, right?
So the KPFA business manager has queried and pointed these things out and is trying to get the specific details on the charges to the stations on elections expenses, and she wanted to let everybody know about that because probably if they're charging it to charging back a national expense to all the stations, the same problem may be occurring on all the station's books. And
Carol?
You know, just a sec. I'm having trouble breathing, so I need to speak slowly and get my sentence out. I'm sorry. If you just indulge me. What she recommends is that all the business managers check this, and she points out that it's important so that we can accurately budget for elections in the future, that, you know, the different election expenses are charged to the right line item. Now I'm finished. Thanks.
Carol, when these things get charged to the line items, where is that happening? Is that something that's getting keyed in at National?
Yeah.
And so it's on the bill back to the stations?
Yeah.
And there are a number of different things that get billed back to the stations, and that's one of them?
Right.
Okay, got it.
Right.
Anybody else like to ask anything about that?
Only to say that if it was an input error, that should be easily recognized, at least identified, recognized and corrected.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that that's what happened.
Yeah.
Can we perhaps have a motion that we ask that be checked or something, so that it's an actual motion rather than just a.
But I don't think we need a motion, because that's just a regular business procedure.
My feeling about that right now, Dave, is it's premature. Laverne and Lois, our business manager, noticed the problem. They're working to get it corrected. We'll hear from Laverne at our next meeting whether it got corrected, and then at that point, you know, if there's a problem. Just it's like somebody's made a typographical error and you need to look for it.
Okay, fair enough. If nobody feels that we need anything other than a report right now, that's fine. Anything else? Okay, hearing none, let's go on to the WBII budget status. Now, we don't have the treasurer and we don't have the CFO, so I don't know how much we can do on that, but Gallus, do you have
anything? Yeah, I don't have anything, because I, too, of course, have no data given to me, but I put in a request at the last coordinating committee, just so this committee knows, to hear what was the exact amount of that came in the last BAI fundraiser in October, November, how much came in by credit card, how much by check, and how much is outstanding. So I don't have that either, obviously, but whether it's relevant, I put that information request in. Thanks.
I'm concerned because we don't have the October financials.
Well, let's deal with that. That's the very next item.
Yeah.
So if there's nothing else on BAI,
I just
would like to mention that we do have a motion that's from a prior meeting that we would deal with revisiting
mm-hmm.
the BAI numbers by December 17th, which is next week.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the end of this meeting, the one thing not on the agenda is scheduling the next meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I should have had that. But I think we need to do that for next Friday.
Yeah.
And I also think that we need to be certain that Lonnie is going to be on that call. And if he's not going to be on that call, then we need to make some other arrangements so that we can be sure that we do it at a time when we can get him.
Right. And also that we have the figures, you know, complete figures, as best as possible, a couple of days in advance, so that we've had a chance to look them over. I see that's on the agenda later. If we could have a motion then,
yeah.
Is that what you want to do?
Yep, that's exactly what I'd like.
Dave?
Yes.
Could I just mention that since the October-November fund drive at BAI, there have been two different days of fundraising. And the possible financial implications of the firing of the single largest fundraiser at BAI, Gary Null, is now permanently off the air. So I don't know really what that means in terms of finances, but I'd like to hear from Lonnie at some point. Thanks.
Can I ask a question? What it means to when you say the single largest fundraiser has been fired? Was he paid staff?
No, he wasn't.
Okay, so he's been taken off the air.
Yes, thank
okay.
you. Yeah, permanently off the air.
Okay. Okay. Is there anything else on this? If not, let's go on to the financials, of which we have few.
The most recent financial statements we have are September, the year-end financial statements, and I didn't notice anything particularly surprising there. Did anybody else?
Oh, I have not looked, to be quite honest. Does anybody else? By the way, we need to get Donna the list of the of what financials we have. And also, where are they being posted?
Well, they're posted at Pacifica.org.
Okay.
In the financial section. The last time I looked, they had posted August but had not posted September. So
I can get them.
I can send you the September. I'd just like to say a couple things about September. September is the end of the fiscal year, and so it really wraps things up of how we did budget versus actual for the year. And because we've been watching it build over the year, there wasn't anything terribly surprising to me. But one of the things that I read in advice to finance committees, board finance committees, mm-hmm. was to save your year-end unaudited finance reports, and then when the audit comes out and you get an audited financial statement, to compare the two
mm-hmm.
to see how accurate your year-end unaudited financial reports were, in order to compare, see how many adjustments had to make if there were things that were really way out of whack. So I just wanted to point that out, that everybody should save that September those financials for September, and then look at them in comparison to the audit when it comes out in February or March.
By the way,
I'm on the Pacifica Finance Committee, the Financial Reports and Budgets page, and I'm not seeing the financial statements here.
Well, I could go there because I can.
Income statements and balance sheets?
Yep, that's it.
Okay. September is up.
Oh, okay. So I don't need to send
The income statement is up. The balance sheet is not.
Okay. That's another. We have a motion somewhere later on in this thing about getting timely financial reports.
Right.
I'll postpone mentioning.
Okay. And so yes, we need to get the other numbers. Hang on just a moment.
Balance sheet.
Back to the. Let me get back to the agenda. Sorry. Okay. Yeah, we need to get the October and November financial statements.
Well, November, we have to be realistic. They don't close the books until, like, December 15th. So, the fact that we don't have October by now is problematic.
So let's see. I think I will write a letter to Lonnie asking the status of the October financials.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Is that all right?
Yeah, thank you.
Dave will query. I'm just putting that in the minutes.
Okay.
Including balance sheet and income statement, right?
Let me get to that. Income statement, balance sheet, and I'll ask about posting of the September balance sheet.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. All right. Anything else? I do think that by next meeting, I will go over, and I think other people too should take a look at the at September stuff as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so the next thing is the policy on interstation transfers. and we had had a discussion about it, and we sort of left it at that originally. I mean, the discussion that we'd had was about what kind of transfers we're talking about, and also whether there would be an approval mechanism required. And what we, the general outlines of what we discussed is that there was a dollar threshold for reporting to, there would be a dollar threshold for reporting it to the National Finance Committee. And the dollar threshold for, over anything above that would have to be approved. We didn't discuss how it would be approved, i.e. whether this committee would be granted approval authority or whether it would have to go to the national board. And then we also had a discussion about the fact that there might be emergency situations in which we might have authorization for the national office to go ahead with a transfer under emergency conditions without approval. But we had to define what those conditions were and what the amount would be. Does anybody have further thoughts on it? Because I think we could generate a motion, but maybe what we need to do is generate it in writing for the next meeting. But is there anything else on this?
I have a couple of thoughts. Last time we talked about this, we discussed that there are all kinds of things that are transfers technically, such as when the national office bills back to the station something the national office paid for that's a station expense. And I want to be clear, we're not talking about that. What we are, I think, concerned about is when some unbudgeted item comes up, whatever it is, that the national office assesses the stations to help pay for it. And takes it, the money, from the station bank accounts to cover the expense. That's the kind of interdivision transfer that we're talking about. Or it could arise in several kinds of situations. One, we've observed over the past couple of years there were legal expenses that were not budgeted, that the stations were assessed to help pay, and the money was transferred to the national office to help cover those expenses. Another situation where it might occur would be where there was a serious shortfall in cash flow somewhere, either in the national office or in any of the stations.
Exactly.
And let's say KPFK had some excess money in their account, and WBAI was going to get their electricity turned off, the decision might be made to transfer money from KPFK to WBAI to keep the electricity on. Those are just examples of the kinds of things that might happen, and that we need a policy to address approval processes and notification processes for those things. And my thought about it is if there's ever a transfer from any unit to another unit to cover a cash flow shortage, notice has to be given, because cash flow shortages are serious matters that we should know about, because it's an indication that we haven't been budgeting or controlling expenses very well. So I think any transfer from any division to another to deal with a cash flow shortage must be reported to the National Finance Committee. Approval processes, for instance, on legal expenses, just taking that example, I think that we should have some threshold number that ignores the trivial. And I don't know what's trivial, 1,000, 5,000, somewhere around there. And it says if there's any unbudgeted expense that results in assessing the stations that wasn't in the budget in the first place, it does need to be pre-approved. And if it's an emergency, that it needs to be ratified.
Pre-approved. by the board, or are we asking that the board take a motion by this committee to allow this committee the authority to approve one?
Well, I would say I would have two threshold levels, like from 1,000 to 25,000. This committee could approve it. Over 25,000, it would take the board, or some, you know, just some level of significance. If you know what I'm saying. What is any, does anybody else have a thought about that?
By the way, I would like, I just want to say that I do think we should talk. I took down some notes on what you just said, Carol. I think what we need to do is get a motion put together by the next meeting, circulate it to everybody, and then actually pass it for approval by the PMB later this month. And that would be part of the report that I asked be included from this committee that I asked be included. If we could get that policy nailed down, I think that would be a real great achievement.
Well, let me ask, does anybody have any objections to what I just said in theory?
No.
Does it make sense?
No, this is Henry. I think that there is no problem in setting those kind of policies. I just wonder if there is any provision in the bylaws that can interfere because some decisions should be taken by the PMB as a whole. But would this include some kind of executive committee from the PMB that could be more expedited in these kind of situations?
To answer those questions, the bylaws prohibit there being an executive committee that can make decisions for the board.
Okay.
They do set up a finance committee, and the board can, by resolution, delegate authority to us to approve things within a certain range. That's the board itself can grant us that authority. So we couldn't take that authority without the approval, Dan or Dave bringing a request to the national board that they delegate that authority to the finance committee. But I think the finance committee, within a certain reasonable range, would probably be the best place, and if it's larger than a certain amount, that it should go to the national board.
I'd just like to say that the main thing I'm concerned about is language that ensures that we get notice when the it becomes apparent that such a thing might be needed.
Yeah.
In other words, that it's not like, well, we've known this for some time, we've been watching it, and now we're going to have to do it, so now we're going to notice it.
Yeah.
But there should be something in there that says basically at the point at which you become aware that such a thing may be on the horizon, that's when it should get noticed.
Finance committee should be notified immediately. Yeah, you want me to draft some language?
Amen. Yes, yes. And yes. I can send you what the notes I just took of what you were saying.
Okay.
So.
This is Donna. Maybe I missed it, but right now I think what you're saying is that if one station needs immediate funds, the corporate office has decided to make the transfers. Is that right?
Right.
As far as I know, Donna, that hasn't happened in recent history.
But you gave the example, though, right?
It's an example of something that might happen and that happened 2 years ago or three.
And which is why all this stuff about whether or not it gets audited came up, because there were questions about, there was confusion in different sectors about the conditions under which things were being made. And one of the things, part of this policy also, because we talked about notice and approval, but part of it is also the things that, you know, like if something's a loan, what does that mean? You know, what are there any rules about what happens if you have to, if one unit provides money to another? Is there a repayment agreement implicit in there somewhere or not? And one of the things that came up when we were talking with Lonnie about it when this first came up was that there are a lot of different kinds of things that might happen, and over time we may want to develop like policies and rules, but the first thing we need is we just need to be notified every time it happens so we can begin to see what's going on.
But wouldn't we be notified when Lonnie makes out his monthly report anyhow?
No. If you look at the monthly reports, you don't see cash transfers like that, no.
So we're only notified when the annual audit occurs? Is that what you're saying?
Reading the audit and finding them is difficult, too.
There's got to be some kind of...
There's a transfer
exposure.
That's made, and it's on the books. And if you were in there reading the books, you would know about it. If you were the bookkeeper at KPFK, you would know about it. But the National Finance Committee needs something that calls our attention to it, is what we're saying.
And you want to know... Let me ask you this. You want to know before he actually makes the transfer?
Yes.
Well, wouldn't that be taking the duties away from the... I mean, I think it's up to the CFO to make that decision, even though I agree that after he makes the decision, or even while he's making the decision, he can have the option of informing the Finance Committee. But what if it needs to be made right away? You don't
well,
have time.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, and I think that the policy would have to be one with the flexibility to deal with emergencies, that you notify us and we ratify it later.
The other,
but if there's a if there's an unbudgeted transfer, I don't think he has the authority to make it, because the board controls and approves the budget, and if he's doing something that was not part of the budget, then he doesn't have authority to do it.
But does the board control it to the last penny?
Within a certain range.
That's why we're talking about having dollar thresholds on this, so that if it's trivial amounts, it's not.
Yeah. I mean, if it's over a certain amount, then it's non-trivial. Yeah, sure, everybody's got a certain amount of room to move things around and be under and over budget, but if it's serious, that's what we're talking about.
You said it hasn't happened for the last, at least for 2 years?
Well, there are two kinds of transfers that I'm aware of. One is interstation transfers to cover shortfalls. Just take an example of from KPFK to WBAI as an example. I am not aware of that having occurred in the last 2 years. I am aware of it having happened in 2002. I do not believe it has happened since then, but because we don't have a notification process, I'm not sure. Another example is a $500,000 unbudgeted legal bill comes in. The national office says KPFK is going to pay 25% of it, BAI is going to pay 25% of it, and KPFA is going to pay 25% of it, and PFW and KPFP each going to pay 12.5% of it, and they take the money out of the account. The board didn't approve that transfer. It wasn't budgeted, and this would be a policy to say when these unbudgeted major expenses come in over a certain level, they need to come and get approved.
I don't mind the board being involved. You just have mentioned the financial people at the individual stations being involved.
Right. Well, they are at the level of,
do they have a voice?
They're at the level of coming to us and saying, this is what we need to do. They're the staff. They come to the board and say, this is what we need to do. This is the problem. This is what we think the solution to it is. We're notifying you. We have the problem. This is the solution we recommend. Would you approve it? And almost, I can think of very rare cases where it wouldn't be approved, that we would have the notice and we would all know what was happening.
Also, I would think that that would be an accounting practice, that when the annual audit is done, the auditors would comment on that. They comment on more than cost. They comment on practices, too.
Hard to find it.
Yeah. Well, for instance...
It shouldn't be hard to find it.
If you read the audits, you will see the interdivision loan accounts. There's changes every year in how much each station owes and is due. But there's not... If you look at that, and I've looked it over very carefully, year to year to year, there are changes, but in the interdivision payables and receivables, but I don't know what that's for.
There's no not written explanation in the notes?
No.
Okay. Well, then when at the beginning of the year or whenever the audit committee sits with the auditor, they need to be very clear that they want them to follow generally accepted auditing principles. And GAAP would say that you write notes in the audit report. If
right.
not, perhaps you need to find another auditor.
Well, that's one of the reasons we've asked the audit committee to ask the auditor to audit all of those transactions over the last 3 years.
Not only that.
And provide us with a detail of what those transfers were.
Okay.
This is Henry. May I speak?
Please.
Yes. I believe that the spirit of a motion that wants to be presented is to prevent any irregularities in the future, not that we are having right now, but because in the past has happened. We want to prevent and at least to the PMB to be informed when any critical situation might be raising. For example, we just have this problem in WBAI for several months that if the PMB hadn't been aware of what was going on, something terrible would happen once that we are presented with the audit. If we are in the position to know what's going on, that's going to be permissible for the PMB to take hands on and look for the money of the listeners most than anything. So I am for presenting that kind of motion to establish those policies with thresholds and asking the PMB to delegate some kind of authority to the PMB Finance Committee in this matter.
What do people think of the threshold of under 25,000, the Finance Committee can deal with it, over it would need PMB approval?
Carol? Dave, can I speak?
Please.
Carol, the figure 25,000, you know, did you set that thinking that a specific types of, you know, needs fit that, or just as a basic figure, if I'm expressing myself clearly?
Well, why did I pull 25,000 out of the hat?
Mm-hmm.
Because we're running on a $15 million budget,
mm-hmm.
and it just sort of seems like lower than that, the National Finance Committee, you know, it's not a significant amount of money in the huge overview in the Finance Committee. It could be within our purview, but over that, it starts being, I think, significant.
Sounds fine to
revenue.
Me. Sounds fine to me.
It strikes me as slightly high, but...
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, Donna. Go ahead, Donna.
No, I was going to say, I think it's too high.
Yeah, I agree. It does seem, I mean, $25,000 is actually, given the budgets of some of these stations, is actually, can be
what
quite a hit.
What would people feel is better, 15?
That sounds okay with me. What do you
mm-hmm.
think, Donna?
I think it should be 5. I mean, if 5,000 is a lot of money, too.
But we're saying, I'm not sure if I've been clear. Anything up to 25,000 or 15 would come to the National Finance Committee. We would be alerted and approve it. It's significant, but it would come to the Finance Committee. If it's over that threshold, it would take PNB approval. So I think 5,000 is too low for that myself.
Okay, so you're saying that if it was 1,000, it would come to the Finance Committee?
Yeah.
Okay. And then I understand better. And if it's over 15 or over 25, then it has to have full board approval?
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
And
so which is a better figure, 15 or 25?
25.
Yeah, my only concern about it being 25 is that the board might balk, because really that really is quite a significant amount of money given some of these station budgets. I mean, you know, I thought 20 might sound a little less alarming, but it's really splitting hairs. We can have that discussion at the board level if somebody minds. I would like to propose 20.
20?
That's fine.
All right, I'll write the proposed motion as a 20.
Okay.
Okay.
And so right now it's only a notification. Now, one of the key points about the notification that we're getting is that it includes the status. That is this something that's going to be repaid or not?
Yes.
Because that's the critical item, really, that there were, in the transfers that occurred, there was confusion in different sources about what the status was.
Right.
And that...
Some of the
So that has to be one of the things that's noticed when the transfer occurs. And that should also be something that each of the units involved is clearly notified of.
Right. And, you know, when we're talking about notice, we're talking about notice to the board of something that at the lower, at the staff level, the manager and the CFO and the business manager and the ED have all talked this out. And they're clear, and they're giving us notice of what it is that they think the problem is and the solution is. It's not like we're trying to do their job for them. They're dealing with the problem and letting us know what it is, and if it's over a significant amount, they're getting board approval for it.
Right.
Carol, I need to ask, though, what is the lowest before they have to notify the finance committee?
Throw out a number that you suggest.
Well, no, you tell me.
No, I don't want to do that. I think it's a group process discussion we're having here, whatever people think is reasonable.
Well, and you're talking about specifically unbudgeted items, right?
Right, things that aren't in the budget where you suddenly say, oops, we're going to have to do this.
Yeah.
I was thinking on the order of 5K.
Yeah.
I mean, because, for example, suppose that there is, like, this Conyers thing, they need to pull money out for some national programming, and they ask the stations, you know, we want you to all kick in X thousand dollars. I mean, yeah, well, if it's $5,000 and you levied it on every one of the stations, that would be a $25,000 net transfer. So it's actually an interesting question whether or not, you know, if you amortize it over several group different places, does that constitute a transfer of, you know, if you took $3,000 from every station, is that a $3,000 transfer? Is it a $15,000 transfer?
15, because it's 15 coming into national. I can't clarify that.
I think you better define it then. Because already you're bringing in ways to circumvent the process.
Yeah, but these are the kinds of things that we're just trying to think about. I think that if more than $5,000 is being transferred around in the aggregate, the finance committee should know, and if it's more than 20, the national board should approve it.
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
And then something about if it's an emergency thing, we get notified of the reason for the emergency, and we get pre-notified, but we ratify it if there's not. So an emergency is something where there's not time to have a meeting before you need to do it, but you still have to notify before you execute the transfer.
Right. Okay.
How do you do that?
Are you just a note from an email from the ED or the CFO that says we're needing to do the following thing. This is to notify you that it's being done.
To the chair or to the whole committee?
Good question.
Notify the finance committee. We have a listserv. Everybody gets it.
I understand
no more work.
That, but a lot of people may not pick up, and then they say, well, I didn't get it.
Well, if it goes to the whole list, somebody will certainly see it. I actually would prefer, in the case of emergency transfers, that the national board be notified.
Yes.
Okay.
What do you think of that, Donna?
I like that, too, because emergencies indicate one of two things, poor planning, or two, extraordinary circumstances. And both of those are things that I think boards should be aware of.
Okay, but is
actually, the Finance Committee should also get it, so the treasurers know.
Mm-hmm.
Is it considered delivery of the message just by sending out the email?
Yes.
Okay, without following up to see if anyone actually received it? Maybe due to a virus or something?
You know, this has been a question that comes up at the board level periodically, whether people are getting or reading their emails. And view it this way. You may see it differently.
Go ahead.
If the email notice is sent and I miss it, if it was sent to the whole board, certainly somebody's going to see it. And if it's troubling, somebody will bring it up. But I don't feel that it's fair or necessary for the staff to spend their time inquiring of all of us if we have read and received our email.
And
I agree with you, but I think that there should be one follow-up call to the chair, phone call to the chair. Because,
Henry, I'm sorry.
Too many times when this stuff gets on the email, everybody jumps in. And in a little while, even the important messages, you may not realize which is which, and you turn off.
Yeah.
So I think he can send it, or somebody can send it to the entire board, or whoever you want him to send it to. There should be one, at least one follow-up phone call to the chair. To the chair.
Chair of the Finance Committee?
Yeah.
That's the person who's really supposed to be on top of our finances.
Fine, to the chair of the Finance Committee, then.
Okay.
Henry?
Yes, I would like to say that if there is some that kind of emergency, a phone call should be following just to the chair, the treasurer, and to the chair of the Finance Committee. That way, then if it is required, a PMB urgent session, something like that, we can activate a chain of telephone calling, and we gather all together, and that's it.
Henry, are you saying the chair of the National Board?
The chair of the National Board.
And who else, please?
And the treasurer.
There is no treasurer other than Lonnie.
No,
he's
Bruno.
Not the treasurer.
David's
the treasurer.
Yeah, but there is no real treasurer, right?
Yes, there is.
The chair of the Finance Committee is the treasurer.
Okay, thank you.
That's it.
Okay, so Henry's proposing that in addition to the chair of the Finance Committee, it also go to the chair of the board, that call go to the chair of the board.
I don't have a problem with that.
Okay, is there any other clarifications? If not, we can ask Carol to formalize the discussion into a motion that she would email to us, and then we would look to act on it at our next meeting.
Yeah. Okay.
Just one question. Would that be on next Friday, just before the PMB meeting?
Yes.
Okay, perfect.
Okay.
It's before what PNB meeting?
The special meeting you called.
Oh, Roger didn't cancel it. It turned out that was on, there was the governance committee. This was for the 16th that it was called, and that's now been canceled. And, oh, well, I'll send out a notice to
everybody.
Okay,
well, anyhow, we'll be meeting next Friday.
Yeah, good.
To deal with all the stuff that we're not able to deal with now.
Does anybody know when the next National Board meeting is?
The one I've asked Marty for, which hasn't been put out yet, is the 20th.
Okay.
But we have a regularly scheduled telephone conference call, and I actually couldn't find where that's listed.
I couldn't either.
The third Monday of the month or the fourth or when?
We've been doing it on the fourth, I believe, haven't we?
But
anyhow, we'll have to.
Yeah.
I'll go to the page while we Pacifica while we deal with the rest of this. Okay, so if there's no objections, let's move the agenda then. Okay, hearing none, then the next item on the agenda is the policy on under and over budgeted line items. So what this is you are at the station level. I'm not sure whether we did this for station and or national. It may just be for the national budget. But basically, if you're under or if you're over, where does it get notified? Where does it get approved?
All right. Well, I have some thoughts on this. A budget isn't an item that is cast in stone. It is a projection or a prediction. When you make the budget, you make your best estimate of how much money you're going to receive and how much money you're going to spend for various items. And knowing that it's not going to be accurate to the penny. But the board, when we talked to Lonnie, we said, if there's something that's significantly off, we'd like an explanation of what it is, why it is. When we get the monthly income statements. Because the monthly income statements are where you see it. The budget for year-to-date for toilet paper was $200, and we're at $233,000. You know, why is that? So we talked about a percentage, and if I recall, we said 5% off. is something that would need an explanation.
And I think we should have 5% and it has to be over a certain dollar limit.
Right. So I'd say 5% and $5,000.
Okay.
Does anybody think different?
This is Lavarne. I'm on now. Sorry, I had a previous commitment, but that sounds reasonable. You know, 5% or, you know, 5,000 is kind of low, but I mean, it's, you know, I would think more like, I don't know, it depends on the light. I would think more like 10. I mean, 5 is kind of, you know, uh-huh. 5% or 10,000 or something. I don't know.
And, not or. It has to be both. So, in other words, if something was a 25% overage, but the annual budget item was only $1,000 itself, or if it was 100%, we still wouldn't need to deal with
it. Yeah. But, yeah, that's, I mean, as a starter, that's good. To, you know, as a starter, as a template, see how it works, I think that's good.
So you're saying 5% and 10,000. It has to
Right. It's 5 and 10.
Uh-huh. Whichever is greater, kind of, or...
Right.
No, because if you have a $500 line item and you go over it by a factor of 3, it's still not really something that, I mean, given all the things we have to deal with, we set a threshold that it, in other words, if it was...
And or is fine.
It has to be over that dollar limit, and it also has to be a greater than a certain percentage of the total budget item to rise to the level of being dealt with.
Well, let's say you had $1 million budget item, and it's over by 10%. That's $100,000. Don't you think we ought to have an explanation of that?
That's $5,000. Why not just make it a dollar limit?
Because in some cases where you'd have like a small budget, like $10,000 for like printing, and if you go over by like 12, and then you spend over by 2,000. You actually kind of want to know about that. You know why some items go over so much. But you know, why don't we just throw out it as a template, one line item, and then see how that works, and then you can discuss it the next time.
Well, we were hoping actually to get it into a motion form so that we can actually get these motions approved by the PNB later this month.
Okay, well, that's good. I mean, put it in the motion, and then, you know, you can always amend later next year.
Carol, right. As long as you're writing this other motion, would you bundle this, too?
All right. The way I see this making sense is 5% or $10,000, whichever is greater. In other words... I can't think out loud.
Yeah,
we have $1,000 a month for maintenance on equipment, for example, on the new studios. So that means if we go over by $60, that's 6% overage. I don't care about that. Why don't you think about it in the peace and quiet of your own time? You understand what I
understand.
And I don't think we need to spend time on it. Does anybody else have any other things that they want to put in this pot? Okay. Hearing none, let's go to the next item, which is the policy on the budgeting process in the event of excess income. And what this is it's kind of related, but what it is suppose you hang on a second, let me get back there. So let's suppose that it's going to be $10,000 more than you expected. What's the budget approval process? If it's at the station level and the station has money in the bank, does the CFO need to approve it, or does the manager have the authority to go ahead? Is there any notification to the local finance committee in the way that we have asked that things, interstation transfers, be noticed to the national finance committee? Does there need to be any other approval process, blah, blah, blah?
Can I restate this issue?
Please.
KPFA has a fund drive. The budgeted cash in the bank from that fund drive is $900,000, and we raise $1 million cash. We've got an extra $100,000 in income that we didn't budget to spend this year. Because we didn't budget to receive it. Is that the issue
that's
you're
right.
getting
I'm sorry,
at?
I got confused. Yes, that's exactly the issue. The question is, at what point, so you've raised more money than you budgeted, at what point are you able to spend it, and by what process does that spending get approved?
Dave, do we first have to say that the stations can keep it, right? Because
well,
right
they do
now,
keep it. That's,
that's a separate matter of the KPFK budget, the KPFK-LSB's resolution about how that get handled. But whatever, whether you pay 20% of central services or not, you've raised more money than you expected. At what point does it become registered as money available to spend, and through what process does that spending get approved? Is that an adequate description? Does everybody comfortable
mm-hmm.
with that?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let me say a couple things about that. If you're spending money that you didn't, but you, if you receive money you didn't expect to receive, it wasn't budgeted as an income. So, and you start spending it, it wasn't budgeted as an expense. So, whenever you start spending that money, you're spending, you're over budget on somewhere.
So the previous motion applies.
Right.
I didn't understand that. Could you explain it again?
If I've got an extra $100,000 windfall, and I go out and buy $100,000 worth of something,
mm-hmm.
It wasn't budgeted. It's going to be over budget.
Mm-hmm.
And we just passed a motion about if you're over budget, what you have to do. Notify.
But it's also over income. Right.
Well, yeah, and this raises a big philosophical, I think, financial planning issue.
Mm-hmm.
When you get windfall money, should you just fritter it away?
No.
Or should you sock it away for a rainy day? Or should you put it in a special capital account for capital needs?
But there's another issue. I'm sorry, were you finished?
No.
Go ahead.
No, I was finished.
There is another issue. For example, in our system, the local boards are supposed to have some budget approval and budget oversight over station budgets. So, and then there's always the issue that we're hearing in our finance committee about interactions between our management and the CFO about how spending decisions are getting made.
Can you be more clear?
Well, yeah, so for example, we hear that the station's been told that they have to do a mini fundraiser because they have to raise more money, or that we have to keep certain costs down, like staffing costs, things like that. So they're talking about how the budgeting decisions are getting made. I'm still not clear the line of authority there in terms of a manager's discretion to spend money. Does the CFO have to say it's okay? Who has what authority in terms of deciding what happens with that? The concrete example in the case of KPFK is that KPFK raised a lot more money than they expected, than was budgeted last year, and had to hire more staff to process it all, you know, entry, the data entry stuff and getting subscriptions, premiums out and other stuff. They needed more people to do the work. They had more money, so they were over on income, they were over on salary expenditures. I'm not clear exactly what happened with the bottom line. But and by the way, on that earlier motion, I think there was a bottom line issue with it too. But anyhow, so the point is, I made more money. I need more people to process, you know, to do whatever work is associated with that. How does that get approved? Does the local board review it? Does the CFO approve it? So it's more than just notice. It's what's the budgeting process for
it? It's a procedural thing. I think the local board and the local general manager perhaps should meet and come to a conclusion of what to do with the money.
Well, you know, I think there's some real practical concerns here. Mm-hmm. If you're having a fantastic fund drive and things are just going bonkers, you've got to get people in the door today.
In the door?
Yeah, people in the data entry room in
oh.
the place that
uh-huh. right.
getting the, you know, you've got to have somebody there dealing
uh-huh.
with it. and to bog that kind of thing down with approval processes means that you couldn't deal with the wonderful success you're having.
So that kind of expense has to be excerpted. If
well,
You mean the
what
connected?
I would look at would be, say, the net from the fund drive. The net from, you have to kind of analyze your fund drive as money coming in and the expense of raising it.
Yeah, so expenses of raising it would be held out.
Well,